Welcome to the Pretty Deadly Podcast. I'm Susie Pollock, the founder of Pretty Deadly Self-Defense, a self-defense program for women I developed based on my experiences as a violent crime survivor and my 23 years of training in the Japanese art of ninjutsu. I'm going to dive right in, and in this episode talk about why don't women want to learn self-defense? But before I go on, you've heard of Andrew Tate, right? A recent report said that 1 in 4 young men agree with what Tate says about women. And what immediately leapt to my mind is the UN report that 1 in 3 women will become victims of violence in their lifetimes. Coincidence? I wrote an essay about it on Medium. It's usually behind a paywall, but I pasted a friend's link in the show notes. Check it out and let me know what you think. Is there a connection between Andrew Tate's views on women and violence against women? I'd love to hear your thoughts. But back to the question, why won't women learn self-defense? If you're a martial artist listening to this, you probably know this scenario. You decide to launch a self-defense course for women, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, maybe even a workshop, but let's say it's a course. You get a lot of support in your community. Women are super enthusiastic. You get a ton of signups. But on the very first class, only half of the signups show up. And throughout the rest of the course, people drop off in ones and in twos. So by the very end, you're left with maybe two, but probably only one woman who actually completes the full course. And after she completes that course, you ask her, "So what did you think? Was this useful to you?" And she smiles and she nods and she says, "Yeah, it was great. It was really empowering, really powerful." And then you never see her again. Why is that? Well, I'll tell you. Let's look at this from another perspective. You just spent 4, 6, 8 weeks, or maybe just an afternoon or a full day, teaching women really powerful self-defense techniques, but you're also showing them exactly how effectively you can hurt them. One of the reasons for that is because most self-defense instructors tend to take on the perspective of the attacker and not the defender. That's a weird red flag right there. I don't think anybody means to do it that way, but for women, that's starting to plant a seed of fear. So of course, when you ask women at the end of your course their opinion, they're going to say it was great. This is called fawning. Most women do it pretty much all of the time because we know that any criticism, standing up for ourselves, speaking out often incurs punishment. Yes, they respect you and they respect your deadly skills, but they're also afraid of you. And that goes for both male and female self-defense instructors. It's not necessarily just because of your gender, although that definitely plays a role. It kind of goes along with that encouragement that people have in traditional self-defense courses to tell women to, like, make a lot of noise, shout, stand up for yourself, as though that's the problem. As though, oh, well, if we had only been speaking up this whole entire time, 2,000 years, there wouldn't be violence against women. It is overlooking the fact that there is kind of a cycle and there are other roles at play and other things to take into consideration about making noise, about feeling comfortable, and about punishment, retribution, and payback. So that's one thing. I won't get into the whole story about that. I've written about it before and you can check it out. But here's another story I want you to consider regarding self-defense courses. When I was in Chicago in 2008, there was a rapist very active in the area where I was staying, which is called Wicker Park, in case you're curious. And I was walking down the street one day and an off-duty police officer handed me a flyer and said, "Hey, there's a rapist loose in the area. We're doing a community self-defense course for women. It's free. Please join." So I did. This is after I had achieved my instructor's belt in ninjutsu. I'd already been training for 8 years, but I was really curious to see how Chicago was going to handle self-defense. So I went, and I didn't tell the instructors anything about myself. I just joined in like a resident of the neighborhood. We were lined up in two rows, working on techniques, but kind of paired off with each other. And the techniques that one of the guys taught was called, in my martial art, and I think also in karate, is called omote kote gyaku, which is a wrist lock. It's incredibly difficult. It looks often like it's just bending. I can't do it on camera. Bending your wrist back like this, but it's not. It's actually positioning the wrist in a specific way to lock up the joints. It took me, I don't know, maybe 6 months of regular training to just begin to understand that lock. To teach women that particular lock in a 2-hour workshop is next to impossible. So I was working with another woman. I could do the lock and she couldn't. And she almost burst into tears saying, "How come you can do this and I can't?" The look on her face and the kind of vibe she was giving off was, "It's hopeless. I'm not going to be able to defend myself. I'm going to run into this guy and he's going to be able to rape me because I can't do this lock." And I told her very quietly, "This is a really complicated lock. I've studied martial arts for a long time. Don't worry about it. It's not the best thing to do." And, you know, I didn't want to teach over the other people who were teaching, but I did want to calm her down. And I think this is also what gets overlooked is when we're teaching really complicated moves, it gives women a sense of hopelessness. Like, well, I can't do it, so I guess I'm not going to be able to defend myself. And I guess I'm just condemned now to being raped or murdered or kidnapped or whatever it is that I'm worried that is going to happen to me. And to be honest, all women are worried that these things are going to happen to us because they happen to all women. So that aside, the other things that I hear from women, and probably felt myself before I started training martial arts, but to be really honest, I actually don't remember. Not because I'm so great, but just because it was a long time ago and I'm older and I don't remember. But one of the biggest concerns that women share with me is that they don't want to hurt people. And again, when we're teaching from a point of pain, which really works within martial arts, we use pain as a barometer. Is this technique working? Is it causing pain to the other person? Am I feeling the pain when it's being done on me so I can kind of understand how it works from that perspective? Pain is a teaching tool in martial arts, but pain is not a reliable tool in self-defense, not only because it forces women to get over their own deeply embedded, socialized desire to not hurt other people physically, but it also overlooks the fact that an attacker may be full of adrenaline or another drug where they don't feel pain anyway. So we don't want to cause people pain. That's one of the issues. Another issue is the idea that you have to tap into your rage. I've heard other martial arts instructors and self-defense instructors encourage women to like tap into that rage, or when that doesn't seem to be working, to think that, you know, imagine that this is your child you're protecting. There's problems with both of these. One, rage is actually not what comes out in a real life or death situation. It is for some people. I can't make a general statement because it's so individualized. At the same time, rage doesn't really override fear all the time. When it's a real life and death situation, it might not be rage that we tap into. And some people don't really have that deep rage, or it's buried so deep it's impossible to tap into. But also, a lot of people just don't want to tap into rage after a long day of work, right? In order to be able to defend myself, I have to get angry. That doesn't seem very realistic or particularly efficient for most women. Telling women that imagine it's your child or a loved one is kind of diminishing the value of the woman herself. You're not doing it for yourself, you're doing it for your family. That's asking women to sacrifice things for others instead of valuing herself enough to defend herself. And I don't really like saying valuing enough because I don't like those measurements of people's value. Yet at the same time, when we encourage women, imagine it's your child, imagine it's your parent, imagine it's your husband or whatever, you're removing the individual that you're actually teaching. So we have don't want to hurt people, tapping into rage, moves are too complicated, teaching from the perspective of the attacker rather than the defender. A lot of times, I think when people are putting together self-defense classes, they're thinking about like, okay, so an attack can be like this, or it can be like that. One, without really talking to women about the things that we experience, but two, the defenses are so specific. And again, that's not very realistic to what we may be experiencing in our lives. Yes, I can defend myself in this one specific way from this one specific attack, but I want something general, because what if that person doesn't attack me in that way? That reminds me of something somebody said recently here in Germany. Who she was talking about having to walk down a dark street at night on a regular basis on her way home, and how uncomfortable she felt about that. And I asked her, why don't you learn self-defense? And she said, well, I did in high school, or Germany's version of high school. But, you know, you can't always rely on it. It's not specific enough, or it's too general, or whatever it is. But her point was, is that you can't always rely on it. And I thought that that was very interesting, again, because she's thinking about it in really specific scenarios, which is the way that she was taught, I found out after talking to her some more. So people believe that self-defense doesn't always work. A lot of people believe that self-defense is just bullshit. And one of the reasons they believe that is because of bad actors. There are a lot of people, both men and women, who really honestly want to teach women and other vulnerable groups self-defense. But among that, there are also a lot of bad actors. There are people who are doing it just to make a quick buck, which, you know, I mean, I can understand it. It's not necessarily noble. But often when that's the motivation, then they don't really care about safety or comfort or trauma or any kind of support for the people that they're teaching. But there's also people who sort of take a very paternalistic idea of teaching self-defense to women, which is harmful. I met a woman who told me that she had taken self-defense from these Krav Maga guys. And there was one portion of the course where they were working with their eyes closed, which is a really common thing in martial arts to train with your eyes closed, because then you really feel what your body is doing, where your balance is, what your body dynamics are, et cetera, et cetera. It's great, and I highly recommend it, and I do it too. She was escaping from a choke, so it was a one-hand choke pressed up against the wall. She had been working over this course with one partner, so there was a lot of trust built up between her and her partner. She was the one being attacked. So she was pressed against the wall. Her eyes were closed. There was a hand on her throat. While her eyes were closed and unbeknownst to her and without her consent, one of the instructors switched out her training partner and took her place. So when she opened her eyes, there was a completely different person standing in front of her. That is terrifying. That's terrifying for women, and a massive betrayal of trust. Now, that guy thought he was helping her and giving her something realistic. But self-defense courses are not the place to be realistic, or whatever you decide is realistic. That's the place to help people feel supported and that they're safe and that they can trust what they're learning from the people that they're learning it from. That was a massive, massive violation. That woman now just doesn't trust self-defense in general. I met another woman here in Germany who told me that as a preteen, I think around 13 or 14, her class had been given a self-defense course by some local martial arts guy. Again, for this guy, out of what he believed was doing the right thing, he wanted all the girls to understand or to have a tactile target when kicking to the groin. So he asked an entire class of 14-year-old girls to go to the bathroom and stuff a sock down their trousers to their genitals to simulate male genitals. That is messed up. That is messed up. And the woman who told me that said, after that, I never, ever wanted to be anywhere near martial arts or self-defense ever again. So these kinds of bad actors are also there, and women are aware of it, and they're worried that they're going to run into a bad actor when they sign up for a self-defense course. Not all women. A lot of women jump in enthusiastically and are happy to learn, but there are definitely some who worry about it. And if you unwittingly start giving off signs that you may be a bad actor, your clients are going to and students are going to drop out of your course as it goes along. The biggest fear that women have around self-defense is, I can't do it. One of the things that we do not want to be confronted with is that we're going to be the person who doesn't scream, who doesn't fight back, who just freezes. We are so worried about this, and we're so worried about meeting ourselves in a way that tells us we're going to let ourselves down, that we would rather just avoid it completely. One of the ways that we learn martial arts, especially if you're a guy, but in general, martial arts are tend to be taught in the same way, which is your sensei or your shihan or your master comes out onto the floor, demonstrates a technique on the higher level students, and then tells everyone else to figure it out. You jump in, you do it, you have a great time, you don't worry about getting hurt or making mistakes because that's what the training is for. Men are very socialized to take risks, and they're rewarded for taking risks. You're teaching self-defense the way you were taught, but women are risk-averse. Think about why that might be. You have been listening to the Pretty Deadly Podcast. You can learn more about who we are and what we do and how to find a Pretty Deadly course near you by visiting our website at prettydeadlyselfdefense.com. And if you're a fitness or martial arts pro and you'd like to enhance your instructor skills, our certification programs are open for enrollment, and you can find them also on our website at prettydeadlyselfdefense.com/selfdefensetrainer, all one word. This podcast is produced by Zynga Network for Pretty Deadly, recorded in Berlin, and our original music is the track Icarus Wish by Berlin band Dead Centuries, used with permission by the artist.